Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found recorded in the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 13, verses 33 to 37, and reads as follows. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, people tend to go to great lengths to prepare for things that they regard to be important. So, a student who is conscientious will study hard to be prepared for the test that he expects or for a pop quiz that he might not expect. Security systems are installed in cars and houses just to be prepared in case someone tries to break in and steal something. Car manufacturers equip their cars with spare tires so that the drivers are prepared to deal with a flat tire. Police, firefighters, military personnel spend much time drilling for different scenarios that they actually hope they never face, but they still practice to be prepared. Even professional athletes take a lot of time to prepare for a big game, watching much video footage of the opposing team drilling complex plays over and over again designed to give them an advantage. Knowing how much people prepare for all kinds of situations in their earthly lives, even things that aren't all that important, that aren't the end of the world, how much more should we prepare for the great event that actually does mark the end of the world, namely Jesus' return on the last day, when he will come as the mighty and glorious King, the judge of the living and the dead. In the scriptures, God makes it clear that the last day will come at a time when no one expects it. It will come suddenly and inescapably upon all people. Now, that does not mean that we can't prepare for it because we don't know when it's going to happen. No, it actually means we need to be prepared at all times. Accordingly, we are taught by the Lord Jesus in our text for today that Christ wants us to wait for his second coming like faithful servants. In the first place, we shall consider the fact that he will return at an unexpected time. And secondly, that the faithful servants will be prepared for his return. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. While the last day will indeed be a dreadful day for the unbelievers, yet the thought of Jesus' return and the end of the world should not fill us Christians with dread or fear at all. Because by faith in him, we know we have all of our sins forgiven. We know that we will be graciously received by the heavenly judge. According to his promise, we, though we are sinners, will be declared innocent and righteous before him for Christ's sake, by virtue of Jesus' work of redemption that's canceled all of our guilt. Jesus told his disciples and all of us, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." We don't have to be afraid of his return. we can look forward to it cheerfully, knowing that he's giving us the kingdom of heaven. We don't have to earn it, thankfully, because we can't. But it's a gift given to us. It's been purchased for us by Christ, given to us now freely of God's good pleasure in Jesus. But when will it happen? When will the last day come? When will we get to heaven? Well, we get to heaven when either we die or the last day arrives. And when either of those things will happen, we do not know. The Bible doesn't give us the answer to that. That, however, has not stopped people from trying to figure it out, from trying to analyze the scriptures and figure out some mysterious clues that could lead to determining when the last day will arrive. But even though we do not know when the last day will come, we do know when it won't come. It won't come when anyone is expecting it to come. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus tells us, "Of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." And as we heard in the last verse of the gospel lesson for today, Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Yes, the precise date of Jesus' return and of the end of the world is something that God has chosen not to reveal to us. Instead, he has told us, commanded us to be prepared continuously. The Lord tells us in the first verse of our text, "Take ye heed, watch, and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Watch and pray. Staying watchful means being spiritually alert to the temptations that surround us, taking steps to avoid those temptations. And connected with such watchfulness, Jesus says that we should also be praying, bringing our requests to him, asking him for help and strength, and thanking him continuously for all the help that he's given us. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in our earthly lives that we spend very little time praying. But really, we Christians should be praying continuously. We should be in constant contact with our Heavenly Father. Praying is the way we talk to God. It's not how God talks to us. God doesn't talk to us through our prayers, but we talk to God through our prayers. He talks to us through the scriptures. So, when you'd like to know what God has to say to you, you don't search your own heart or your own thoughts, but you do search the scriptures and realize that through his word, God will indeed, as he promises, strengthen your faith and keep you prepared for Christ's return on the last day. As our text continues, Jesus compares himself to a man who takes a journey to a far-off place and commands his servants to be careful in performing the duties, their duties faithfully, in his absence. We read, "For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning." Since the servants really have no idea when their master will return, that means they need to be ready continuously. Thus, we Christians are here instructed to be watchful and remain ready at all times, because we do not know when Christ will return on the last day. But then that leads us to consider what it even means to be ready for Jesus' return. Simply put, being ready for Christ's return means being a true Christian, being in the saving Christian faith. By faith in Him, we're ready for Him to return, because by faith in Him, we receive the forgiveness of all our sins. We receive that through what Jesus accomplished for us during His earthly ministry, His active and passive obedience, His perfect keeping of the law, His innocent suffering and death for us. That paid for our sins. That purchased for us God's grace. It is only through faith that a person receives the benefits of that saving grace. And that faith, saving faith in Christ, will also produce good works. And the good works will be set forth by God in the final judgment as proof of the faith, as proof of a person's true discipleship. But it is not the works that save us. It's not the works that make us ready for Christ's return. No, again, that is simply faith, trust in Him as our Savior. Because being continuously ready for His coming means being steadfast in the faith, it means we have to stay firmly planted in His Word. Because it is through His Word, specifically the Gospel, that our faith is strengthened and preserved. So, it is vitally important that we continue to have our faith built up and strengthened by the Holy Ghost through the Scriptures. And we must not let anything in this life distract us and pull us away from the Lord and His Word. There will indeed be many temptations that we face in this life, some really serious, hard ones. But for our comfort, God gives us this promise. God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Yes, our faithful God promises never to let too great of a temptation overtake us. He'll always provide a way to escape. So that means when we do fall into temptation and sin against Him, that's not God's fault for allowing too great of a temptation. It's our fault for not taking the way to escape that He provided. Sometimes we get so consumed by the things of this world and all the responsibilities of life and all the things that we feel that we need to do that we make very little time for the Lord and His Word. And the devil does seek to distract us with all manner of earthly things, earthly pleasures, earthly plans, earthly pains, earthly wants, earthly responsibilities, so on. The devil's goal, of course, is to distract you so much that you have no time at all for God and His Word, so that your faith becomes weaker and finally dies out completely. And if that would happen, if you would completely let go of the Lord, turn away from Him, well, then you're definitely not ready for Jesus' return. Then you would be like an unfaithful servant sleeping on the job. Consider the warning and admonition in our text for today, where Jesus says, "Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping." Remember that in the analogy presented in our text, the servant who is awake represents the person who is ready for the return of the master. That would be a person who is in the saving Christian faith. So then being asleep in this context means being unprepared for the Lord's return, and that means, of course, being an unbeliever. Now, by the grace of God, we Christians have been made spiritually awake. But, our spiritual enemies, the devil, the world, and our flesh, seek to bring us into spiritual slumber, make us drowsy. And that means we have to fight to stay awake amidst all the temptations of those spiritual enemies that would try to dull our senses, lull us into a deep sleep. And sadly, Satan is often successful in doing that, in getting a person to become spiritually drowsy, even while thinking that he is safe, completely prepared for the Lord's return, but as a sleeping unbeliever, he's not prepared at all. That's what we call being carnally secure, feeling secure while being an unbeliever. And the devil's successful in persuading a person in that direction when he says things like, oh, you can go ahead and sin, it's just a little sin, it's fine, you can sin, or you can repent later and be fine. Sin today, repent tomorrow, you're good. But the truth of the matter is, sin is never safe to engage in. It's always dangerous. And if it's engaged in willfully, intentionally, without repentance, it destroys saving faith. The person who intentionally turns against God, willfully doing what he knows to be sinful, that person is not a Christian. Even if he comes every Sunday to church, he's not a Christian. He shows he has no love for the Lord. He's intentionally turning against him. And let no one deceive himself into thinking that he's safe being an unbeliever right now because he'll have time later to repent and to get right with God. Oh, what foolish thinking. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Those who plan on sinning today and repenting tomorrow often become so enslaved by the sin that they are never recovered from their unbelief, and they're lost forever. Now, according to the new man created in us by the Holy Ghost when we were brought to faith, we Christians do not want to continue in sin. We do sin because of our old Adam, but we don't want to. We want to serve the Lord in all that we do and say and think. Being moved by Christ's great love for us, we love him in return. Thus, Christians do not live in intentional, unrepented sin. As St. Paul writes to the Romans, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? For as long as the Lord allows this world to continue, as long as he grants us life here on earth, may we be resolved to serve him faithfully in our lives, clinging to him in faith, thus being prepared for his return. Now, it is God's sincere desire that all people be ready and watchful for his second coming by faith in Jesus. This is why the Lord Jesus concludes our text for today with an earnest admonition to everyone to be watchful and thus be prepared. He says, and what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. As was mentioned earlier, the kind of watching that we Christians do is not a fearful, dreadful watching. No, we're excited about the last day. We should be excited for the Lord to return. The judgment shouldn't strike terror into our hearts, because we know even though we have sinned, our sins have all been forgiven by Jesus. For Christ's sake, our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. The Bible describes it as God putting our sins out of his memory, all for the sake of Christ Jesus' work of redemption. That's what allows us Christians to rejoice when we think about the coming of Christ. And when we see the signs of the times being fulfilled around us in the world, we can lift up our head in joyous anticipation for the Lord's return. Accordingly, Jesus says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. The last day brings for us freedom, redemption from this world of sin and sorrows. So we should lift up our heads in joyous expectation when we see the various signs of Jesus' second coming being fulfilled. What the scriptures teach about the coming judgment on the last day should strike fear and terror into the hearts of the unbelievers. They have good reason to fear. Those who continue living in impenitent sin on that dreadful day will be sentenced to eternal damnation. They will hear the verdict of guilty pronounced upon them, and there will be no escape. But that will not be the case for us Christians. We, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, will stand blameless before God. We'll be taken to heaven for Jesus' sake. Through the power of the gospel, the Holy Ghost has confirmed this faith within us, strengthens and preserves it in us, keeps us ready for the last day, so that we can be as faithful servants, ready for their master's return. We'll definitely have to fight many battles in this life to stay spiritually alert, to stay awake, fight off the drowsiness. And we really lose those battles if we had to fight them in our own strength. But thankfully, God has promised to give us the strength that we need to have the victory. And He grants that to us through the power of His Word. So may we abide as faithful servants in the true Christian faith, spiritually awake and alert as we await our Savior's glorious return. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.